This is the Bulls Talk Podcast. I'm Rob Schaefer, joined as always by my NBC Sports Chicago teammates, Casey Johnson and Tony Gill. Coming up on the show, Casey, Tony, and I offer predictions for the Bulls' final four regular season games and where they'll finish in the Eastern Conference standings, then provide updates on Alex Caruso's lingering sore back and Lonzo Ball's status with his knee rehab.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Over-unders, prop bets, parlays. Don't miss another Bulls BetCast Wednesday while the Bulls battle the Celtics. See live lines and get in-game betting insight from the pros. Coverage starts Wednesday at 7 on NBC Sports Chicago Plus. All right, welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast. I am Rob Schaefer, joined as always by my NBC Sports Chicago teammates, Casey Johnson, Tony Gill. Let's get right to business, fellas. Today, four games left in the Bulls regular season. I thought it'd be fun to do a round of predictions, not only for the Bulls' record in these last four games, but also where they end up seeding-wise, who they end up facing in the first round. Maybe I'll even put you guys on the spot, like I did Cody Westerlin last week, about who the most advantageous first-round matchup for the Bulls would be. It's not easy to pick at this point because none of them are particularly advantageous, or at least look that way, but still an interesting conversation to have. And predictions are fun on this podcast because I think we're actually known for this. We never really get them wrong. We have nearly a 100% hit rate, I think, between the three of us. Of course, that's sarcastic, but it should be fun nonetheless. So let's start here. And Casey, I'll go to you first because I always go to you first.
Because I'm old.
the sage voice. And you're always on the tightest schedule. No coincidence there. And that's not a jab. It's reality. Bulls, Toronto, Cleveland, 5-7 in the East right now. That is the window that the Bulls are in. I wrote about this at our website today, NBCSportsChicago.com. Anybody who wants to go check it out can. I kind of broke down, and it'll still be timely as of tomorrow morning as people are listening to this, kind of what the Bulls' percentages look like to finish with each seed and kind of what things look like in terms of potential first-round matchups. The Bulls are basically going to be either the fifth or the sixth seed at this point. Getting up to four would require the Bulls winning out and one of the Bucks, Celtics, or Sixers losing out. That's probably not going to happen. And falling to seventh would require the Bulls losing out and the Cleveland Cavaliers winning out. That's probably not going to happen either. So they're going to be 5 or 6. They're battling with Toronto for that right. So we'll go through Cleveland and Toronto schedules in a little bit when we're talking about the Bulls-specific seeding stuff. But Casey, on the spot here, the Bulls' final four games, home for Milwaukee, home for Boston, home for Charlotte, at Minnesota. What do you think their record is in those four games?
Do I have to give game-by-game predictions, or can I just do overall record?
Do overall record, but then we'll get into a little game-to-game if you have any questions.
All right. I think the Bulls are going to go 2-2, or maybe 1-3, but probably 2-2. they're going to go 2-2. They're going to for sure lose to the Bucks and for sure beat the Hornets. And then I think they're going to just, win one of those two between – like if they beat the Celtics, then I see them losing the finale and – on Sunday in Minnesota, which is, some people may think that's an easy game. That's not an easy game.
Not at all. Not at all.
And if they lose the Celtics, I see them salvaging that finale in Minnesota. So the only two I'm for sure about are the Bucks loss and the Bucks loss and the Hornets win. And then I think they split the other two. I don't know which way they go.
Spoiler alert. I pretty much agree with you, Casey. We talked about this after practice today. Definitely lose to Milwaukee, definitely beat Charlotte. They've had Charlotte's number this season, although they are, an above 500 team and a pretty good team for a play-in team. I honestly am open-minded to them, upsetting Boston in that game at the United Center because it is at home. Boston's without Robert Williams. But I do think if I had to, put odds on it going in, I would call the Celtics likely to win that one only because they'll be coming off, I believe, at least 2 days of rest. They played on Sunday. They don't play Monday or Tuesday. The Bulls will be in a back-to-back. And even without Robert Williams, they're just on another level in terms of how they're playing right now than the Bulls are. So that spoils my prediction. I also believe 2-2, and I think the two wins will come at the back end, Hornets and Timberwolves. And if they lose the next two, those will be two important wins to get in the battle with Toronto. Tony, how do you see those four games shaking out?
Since everybody can't say 2-2, I'm going to say 1-3.
I was close to saying that.
There you go, Tony.
And it's no particularly any difference of opinion, I think, overall in terms of what you guys have already said. But I think the one game that everybody's looking at is that final game, right? It's, you know, at Minnesota. I feel fairly confident that they can beat the Hornets. No matter what iteration of the Bulls go out at that game, I feel like they can beat the Hornets. The Bucks is the obvious one. Celtics not as obvious, but, you know, I think the Celtics are just a better team than the Bulls right now. But that Minnesota game is the one that is the tricky one. But if I had to pick who's playing better basketball, the Bulls are a better team. But as of right now, who's playing better basketball, I would say the Timberwolves. Like, I just don't think that they can stop Karl Towns at this point. And they haven't shown the ability to kind of stop bigger guys. So I think it's going to be 1-3, but not going to be shocked if they do 2-2.
Yeah, I think that Minnesota one is definitely up in the air, to your point. I mean, that was a close game. They pulled away at the end, the Bulls, but it was a close game at the United Center for most of it when they played. I believe that was back in February. Does anyone have any predictions for Daniel Tice's stat line when Boston is in town? Because he's starting for them now with
his game, baby.
I have a prediction for Luke Kornet's stat line.
Oh, well, we'll need garbage time one way or the other, but that would certainly be a fun development. I don't have any prediction. The Tice thing, in all seriousness, how perfect would it be if he just hit like 4 threes in that game after he shot like 28% with the Bulls last year? And they really needed him to shoot a lot better because they were playing him at the four so much. So that's good. I figured we would be mostly in agreement there. The Bucks one and the Hornets ones are pretty cut and dry to me. And then we'll see how the Bulls handle the Celtics game and the Timberwolves game. It's an important stretch, obviously, for the Bulls to, you would hope, start notching some quality wins or at least some competitive losses against some of these better teams. Their only win above a top four seed in the East this season is against Boston. Now it was back in November. But that is kind of their only win in that 1-12 famous stat that gets paraded around every time they play the Heats and the Sixers and the Bucks of the world. So that'll obviously be the most important thing to track there. Billy was even talking about it after practice today, and Alex Caruso has talked about it. Like, before the Bulls can even start thinking about which teams they match up with the best, they have to raise their own level in house. That's got to be the focus. So say the Bulls do go 2-2 in that final stretch. They have the head-to-head tiebreak with Toronto. That's a good thing. That means if the Bulls go 2-2 down the stretch and Toronto went 2-2 down the stretch, they end the Bulls would have the upper hand there because they have the same record right now. If they finish with the same record, it would make the Bulls the fifth seed in the East. Toronto's final four games: home versus Atlanta, home versus Philly, home versus Houston, and at the Knicks. That sounds like at least 2-2. With the Knicks and those Rockets games at the tail end there, especially because they'll be important games to Toronto. What is your guys' feeling on if Toronto is able to sneak one of that Atlanta game, and they're a better team than Atlanta, or Philly, they would be able to jump the Bulls in a 2-2 scenario for that fifth seed? Do you guys feel confident about the Bulls staying in fifth, or do you think the Raptors has a pretty good shot at jumping them in that respect? Casey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think the Raptors finish fifth and the Bulls finish sixth. I think the Raptors go 3-1 of these games. One of those is a back-to-back, but they're both home games, so no travel involved. They play Philly and Houston Thursday, Friday, back-to-back. I see them going 3-1 in their last three games. And if Tony's Bulls prediction's right, they only need to go 2-2. But either way, I do see the Raptors finishing fifth and the Bulls finishing sixth. We'll get into seeding permutations briefly, but I will or soon. But I will say, I thought Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic had a good line of questioning today at practice, asking, does it even matter if you're fifth or sixth? Because those top four teams are going to be jostling till the last day as well. So, you know, you're going to be playing one of those good four teams. You're not going to have home court advantage. What does it really matter if you finish fifth or sixth at this point? I mean, because you're probably not going to know your opponent until that last day of the regular season anyway.
Totally agree. I totally agree with that. It doesn't – without home court, it really doesn't make a difference. Boston, Philly, and Milwaukee are 2-4 right now, and they're all separated by half a game. And Boston and Milwaukee play each other. Like, there's a lot of – down the stretch, there's so much shuffling that can happen that, you know, I think the Bulls would say that we're focused on ourselves more than seeding, regardless of what the scenario was. But there's really no point in, even from a fan perspective, hoping and praying for five or six, thinking that you're going to get one certain matchup, because any of those three teams could finish in any order at this point. Tony, do you feel confident about staying in five? Do you feel like they're going to drop to six, the Bulls, or do you just kind of not even care at this point when you think?
I think the overall point is, you know, it's a very good chance they're first round out, regardless of, you know, what happens. Is maybe the difference is one game, you know, that maybe they get an mm-hmm. extra game in there. But yeah, I mean, I guess finishing six would feel worse when you're looking at the overall totality of the season than fifth, because it's like, oh man, you were just one spot out of, you can convince yourself that you were one spot out of, you know, having a home court series situation in that four seed. And they were at the top at one point of the East. And then the drop seems a bit heavier at six when you're talking about the season versus five. And I think they would prefer five, since, again, they don't know who they're going to play anyway.
Yeah.
And just having the higher seed, it sounds better going into that press conference at the end of the year. So, yeah, I think they would prefer having five. Do I think that they'll stay there? No. it's all the teams that didn't need to play their best basketball for the Bulls to, you know, be in the right position are playing their best basketball right now, and the Bulls are not playing their best basketball. So it's like all the things that, you know, could have gone wrong, you know, has gone wrong in that sense. But yeah, I think Toronto ultimately gets fifth. I think they're first round next day anyway too. So they're essentially almost the same team in terms of similarities. Like if we could get a series with just those teams, like that would be great, but obviously it's not going to happen. So I do think Toronto finishes at that fifth seed.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, who would you rather play if you're one of the top four seeds at this point, Toronto or Chicago? And take the vaccine question out of it, because this Toronto thing is now throwing a lot of teams into flux, it seems,
ultimate home court advantage.
What'd you say?
It's the ultimate home court advantage for Toronto.
It is, although they won't have home court advantage in a first round series, most likely. But I think even that's a question. Like, as you say, Tony, they're probably on relatively level footing if you're an opponent looking at them, for different reasons. You know, that's interesting, at least to wonder about how the top four seeds would see those two stacked up against each other. But if you're one of the top, you know, if you're in that two through four range, it's the same thing. Just try to get as high as you can. I guess they're thinking about Brooklyn too in that first round, if, you know, depending on where they come out of the play-in tournament. But at some point, if you're anybody with how jumbled things are right now, you just got to play, like you said, keep the momentum going, try to play your best basketball right now and let things fall where it may. Hope the basketball gods reward integrity in terms of not like tanking games to try to change your seeding fate. And for the record, I mean,
real quick, two things I want to hit on that Tony said that I thought were good points. I agree with you can say what you want about fifth, sixth, whatever, but I agree. When you're in first in the East coming out of the All-Star break, and actually didn't it extend one game past the All-Star break? Yeah, they won that first game. So you're mm-hmm. first in the East mid-February. I mean, dropping to five is bad enough. Dropping to six, it just sounds a lot worse. So I do believe, I agree with Tony. There's a mental component to that, and really a mild like off-season impact on that for my estimation. And then, you know, to your point about the Bulls want to finish fifth over sixth, Vucevic said that in direct response to Darnell Mayberry's question today. I mean, obviously, it just makes them feel better, makes them feel like, you know, they're just out of the home court advantage, et cetera. So I do think it's a small thing, but I do think there's a internal confidence and internal organizational vibe that would be better served by the Bulls finishing fifth and sixth.
And also, let's point out, like, because Boston, Philly, Milwaukee are so jammed together right now, whoever finishes fourth of that three is going to have played the worst basketball of those three teams for the final four games of the season, right? Even if they're all still playing well relative to Toronto or Chicago, they will have played worse of those three teams. And if you're in fifth, you have the opportunity to see that team again, Tony. Maybe it only, like you said, it only makes a game's worth a difference. But, you know, that stuff matters, too, if you believe in being one break away, you know, whatever that break might be. You know, that you just want to be in as high of a position as possible. So the Bulls should, you know, the Bulls are going to angle for that as hard as they can. I would expect them to. And, you know, even if I don't really know which way I go. I actually kind of lean towards them staying in that fifth spot. I think the tiebreak is important there. And if they can go 2-2, It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Raptors went 2-2 down the stretch as well. So it'll be interesting, but certainly I believe it when you say it, Casey, and when the Bulls say it, that they want that fifth spot. It makes all the sense in the world why you'd want to be higher than lower. Sometimes it's that simple. For the record, the plan is not a concern at this point, because like I said,
Cody Westerlund got it right. He was on Twitter before anybody saying this team's not going to finish in the play.
clairvoyant Cody. Shout out to Cody. But Cleveland, if anybody cares, is at Orlando, at Brooklyn, and then home for Milwaukee. The odds of them not losing either of those Brooklyn or Milwaukee games, and then the Bulls also losing all of their games, including that Charlotte one.
Their final game is against Milwaukee?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and here's the thing. Could Milwaukee be resting guys? But also, they're in such a seeding war, like maybe the game will matter to them. Who knows?
I don't know. Like, you know, championship teams, championship pedigree that it's funny how we do that, right? In media, they win one championship and they got championship pedigree. They know how to do it. And
yeah,
like it's weird. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how much that last game will matter versus the rest, right? They know they're gonna have their rotation set, they know how they play basketball. If it's one spot, right, and it's not like fifth, you know, it doesn't matter if you're one through four, y'all, you're gonna get the first round matchup. And I think they feel fairly confident playing against anybody in the East. So they may take that rest on that final game. I don't know how the league feels about that. It's funny if, you know, Cleveland somehow is at 3-0 at that point, and you know, the Bulls won't necessarily be happy, but it'd be a funny jab at the Bulls if Milwaukee's like, let's sit everybody. Let's one final jab for the regular season against the Bulls.
Well, here's the other thing. Well, one, we didn't need the championship pedigree aspect to know that Milwaukee plays things like that, because they had a chance, I believe, I don't remember the exact scenario, but they had a chance to essentially duck Miami in the first round last year, the team who would knock them out of the bubble. And they totally leaned into that challenge and they waxed them. They wiped them off the court. So that's how the Bucks have operated, regardless of if they won the title last year or not. And, you know, the other aspect is, the bottom line is, the Bulls shouldn't care who wins the Bucks Cavs game in the last game of the regular season. Just win one game and you're out of the play-in. You know, like that should be the bottom line here. And they have winnable, even if the Bucks and the Celtics, I don't think many people will pick them, between Charlotte, Minnesota, and just, you know, finally sneaking one of these against a top-tier opponent, they have winnable games down the stretch, so they should be able to win.
That's interesting. If they beat Milwaukee, will that change the narrative at the very end of the tail end of the season? They beat a, you know, a top three team in, you know, in NBA.
What do you think, Casey? To me, it would kind of depend on how the game went, but yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the Bulls beating Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I mean, it would have to be a really resounding win to flip. I mean, that's the thing. The one thing for me is, like, it's just amazing that they haven't been able to even, like, even bad teams
walk in
one.
Win.
You know,
that's it right there. That's why we keep asking about it. Why we keep writing it. At some point, you just luck into it. You just get hot. You're lighting a bottle. You get a schedule loss. You get a team resting guys. And the fact that they have just and largely been non-competitive in a lot of these games, that's the troubling part of that statistic.
They'd have to beat them, but they'd have to really, really blow them out for me to change my thinking on how they stack up against those top four teams in Milwaukee.
Hey, is Tyler Cook active tomorrow? He was at practice today. I'm just kidding.
Hey, that is a good question. That is a good question. That kind of dovetails nicely into the last point of this conversation. And we asked Cody this, and he kind of, you know, had a somewhat lighthearted but also a little serious take that the Sixers actually might be the Bulls' best matchup right now. I think you could say that they're playing worse basketball right now than Boston and Milwaukee, but the Bulls have literally never beaten Joel Embiid. There's no sign that trend is slowing down anytime soon. KC, if you had to pick, let's take Miami out of it. They're two games up, and I think it's pretty safe to say they'll stay out of 3 and 4. I guess that could change, but they're playing really well right now. Between Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, you know, again, the difference might only be by a game or two, but what do you think is the best matchup for the Bulls at this point?
To me, it's a no-brainer, and it's, you know, obviously I don't think any of them are a good matchup, and I, like you guys, are kind of feeling a Bulls first round exit coming here. But to me it's Boston, and I would have said that even if Robert Williams wasn't hurt, but it makes it even more so with Robert Williams out, because obviously he's so important to their defense. I don't think it's an ideal matchup, but look, it's the only team they've won against. They've split their first two games in advance of the Wednesday matchup. You've got, you know, two elite scorers in Tatum and Brown, you know, that can be matched with DeRozan and LaVine. And, you know, I think it's a team that, even though they're playing as well as anybody in the league, the Bulls, you know, don't have a one matchup that's just going to be completely dominated, like an Embiid, like a Giannis, like who am I missing? Well, the Heat doesn't really have a one individual matchup.
They're not as much as this conversation.
And I was going to say, unless you put Kobe White on Jimmy Butler, like they did in screen and roll like seven straight times, because that is not a good matchup for the Bulls. Yeah. But sorry, Kobe. But I will just say, to me, it's Boston, and it's really not even close.
Yeah, I think the individual matchup thing is like not having that one that is so obviously going to be dominated every game in, game out. Like that is probably why I agree with you there, KC. The Robert Williams loss is definitely significant. I mean, he was getting Defensive Player of the Year buzz.
For sure.
They're still a damn good team without him, but the defense, from everything that I've seen of them since he's been out, has taken a little bit of a step back, even though they are still an elite defensive team. So, you know, it's picking between a lot of bad options, but I think Boston is pretty clearly that. It also would be a great series. Those two home courts are two of the best home courts in the NBA. That would be a lot of fun. And, you know, I mean, this is a little bit of a lazy kind of like meathead take, but like, does it feel like Boston maybe has a little bit of like, maybe they don't have a ton of it, but more than any of these other teams, like pumpkin potential of maybe they fall back into the late game, you know, bad habits that they had earlier in the season. They just have a little bit more downside, it feels like, than Philly and Milwaukee, to me at least, in a first round series. But again, not picking the Bulls in that series as it stands right now necessarily. So we're splitting hairs a little bit. Tony, what do you think?
You know, like a couple of days ago, I would have picked Miami just because it's like, you know, they don't have that one go-to guy that you're afraid of. And then they played Miami and I was like, ugh. So I think it's Boston. It has to be Boston, and how they've been, and we've kind of talked about it offline, you know, just what he may have, how they're buying in to playing defense, being great offensively in terms of their execution, and really, you know, coming together for this run in the second half of the season. It's really showing dividends, but they're hurt right now. One of their, you know, starters is Garner Williams, one of their better players. So I think it has to be Boston, and then you just kind of hope for the best.
Yeah. It feels like that would be five or six, whereas, you know, Philly or Milwaukee would be four or five, possibly even four.
One thing I would say is, and this is, you know, maybe a small thing or maybe not, but, you know, in terms of making Boston the other best matchup is, you know, Ime Udoka has obviously been in a lot of playoff series as an assistant coach, but he's never been in a playoff series as a head coach. And you know, that's not nothing. I mean, may not be a big thing, but it should be noted. So that would be another reason why I would say that's their most favorable matchup in the first round.
Yeah. It's an open-ended question for sure. Whereas Miami, like they have the best coach in the NBA, in my opinion. That's just a brutal matchup going on.
And the other two guys have won championships.
So there you go. Yeah, that definitely adds a dynamic too. But Tony, as you were talking about the dynamics of the buy-in and the way Boston has played defensively their second half run, obviously the Bulls never had a stretch of the season, even at their height, they were playing as well. The Celtics have played like in this, whatever, I think they're 26-6 in their last 32 or something like that. But it would be funny to see those teams match up because it almost feels like they've had inverse seasons.
Opposite seasons,
just completely opposite. Whereas, like, remember when the Bulls beat Boston in November and – you know, Marcus Smart was calling out
Brown for not,
like they were like melting down. They were 16-19 at one point. The Bulls have been under 500 since the All-Star break. So that would be kind of an interesting storyline, I guess. Obviously you'd rather be Boston and playing well at the right time, you know, and you know, the Williams thing gets in the way. They were actually pretty close to full health from my vantage point before the Williams thing. Anything else to add, guys, before we get out of here? We covered a lot of ground in this, 23 to 24 minutes here.
We should touch on Caruso's back just because, you know, today's the most elaborately he talked about it. And, you know, for him to ask out of a game, as Billy told us he did Saturday night, which I would guess was partly exacerbated, him not coming back by the blah loss to the Heat. But, you know, it's significant. And he talked about how he is battling it, but plans to play through it. You know, and it what he talked about, what happened Saturday, is it's been a lower back contusion. That's what it's been listed at. But it's spread up to his mid back and kind of his shoulder blades. And that every time he was getting hit, he felt pain. Didn't practice today. You know, maintenance day, that's not an alarm bell, because a lot of players at this stage of the season, veteran players, sit out practices. But, you know, it's just, to me, the significance of it is on top of Zach's left knee situation. You know, I hate to sound like we're beating a dead horse here, but it just feels like the Bulls mentally, physically are just kind of getting to the finish line here. And it's too bad, because it would have been really fun to see this team at full strength. You know, we're going to get a Lonzo update here. I think we're all kind of assuming he's not coming back. Mm-hmm. Although the team has not made that official, so I want to emphasize that. So that's my point. It just kind of feels like this is another storyline on top of this kind of exhausting slog that had so much potential and so much excitement. And it's just kind of getting to the finish line. And I'll just reiterate, I think it's too bad, because I think we were all wrapped up in what this team was earlier in the season, and for good reason. They were playing at a very high level at both ends, and Caruso was a big part of that.
Yep. So the Caruso thing, I mean, Billy said post-game after the Miami game that they had been trying to keep his minutes around 28, if possible, with a cap. What'll be interesting to see is if that goes down after it seems like it was aggravated and exacerbated a little bit. Obviously, like you said, no alarm bells. I mean, Zach didn't practice today either. He's managing the knee. So this is kind of an injury management thing. But yeah, the Caruso thing will be essential to monitor. Obviously, like you said, there's no doubt that he's playing at this point in a lot of these games. So we'll see what happens there. And then the Lonzo thing, Casey, you teased it, but Billy said on Saturday, he repeated it today, there was no real Lonzo update at practice today. But that the team is going to know more about his status, quote unquote, midweek. So that could be Tuesday when we talk to him on a game day, or Wednesday. We're going to, you know, the Bulls obviously have it back to back against Milwaukee and Boston. So, two opportunities there. And I think Casey, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like that's going to be the most substantive update we get yet, because
they're going to tell us he's shut down, or that there's still some hope. They're responding well to the ramp up. So it's going to be make or break at that point. Yeah. I personally am thinking that we're going to get news that he's done for the year on Wednesday or Tuesday, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
One more thing on Caruso, because since I've been doing this for so long, I get numb to injuries, because I'm just wake me when he comes back. You know, it's like injuries are part of the game. Mm-hmm. I've just kind of become a little bit numb to him. But you forget sometimes just like how much that guy's been out. So, you know, to me, it's as distilled as simply as this. He's played in 40 games and he's missed 38. I mean, that's remarkable, man. I mean, so he's going to play these final four, albeit at not 100%. So he's going to end up at 44 and 38. I should look up Lonzo's real quick.
I've got it right here. Lonzo's played in 35, and if they're at game 78 right now, he's missed 43, which is amazing because they were so integral to the identity.
That's what I'm saying. And integral. I don't want to, you know, go down like, oh, woe is the Bulls, because all teams have issues. But it is too bad, because those guys, it would have been really fun to see this team at full strength all season.
Absolutely. And the Lonzo thing, the cracks have shown up more as time has gone on. And you see, oh, man, they really just can't buy a good shooting night here. He would have really helped there defensively, obviously. And we said it earlier in the season, and I don't think we were wrong for saying it, even though the sample size, now you look back and it's all, he played less than half the season. But those guys were easily on the way to all defense, easily, if the Bulls had kept up their level of play, even close to it, throughout a little bit longer of the season. So big, big bummer. Tony, you want to bum listeners out anymore with Lonzo and Caruso reflections, or –
No, just look at Lonzo's, you know, game history. I think he's played like 70 games like once, you know, in his
no, NBA not even career. not even 1920 was his most played, and he had 63. That was obviously the shortened season, so that includes all the time.
Wow, you're really bringing us down. you're not only talking about this season, you're talking about long-term ramifications. I'm gonna play much the next 3 years.
It's real though.
I'm just saying it's something to be considered when you're thinking when you're projecting after this season what this team could look like, when you're counting on him, when, you know, he just hasn't been there over the course of his career. And I'm not, you know, scared to say that, you know, that's kind of how his career has played out so far. And then, you know, with Caruso, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's going to play through it, but once that comes out in the media and it's written and it's out there for paper for other teams to look at as a target, you know, your best defender has a back issue. Okay. Like it's going to be a thing.
Here's three screens on one possession to run into, right?
Yeah. And we weren't even passing to the guy you were guarding. We just, so yeah, I mean, sorry to bum, you know, Bulls fans out, but you know, that's how it's going to be.
Yep. So we'll see if they're able to make some magic over these last four games. It would be funny and it would be perfect for this podcast if they get a rousing victory over Milwaukee the same day that we just completely dismissed that game in our final record. It's like, yeah, that one's written in stone. Don't even bother. And we appreciate you listening and watching. If you're on YouTube, the Bulls Talk Podcast. We will be back later in the week. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk Podcast. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.